Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do you remember? These are the words of Jesus to his disciples only hours before he goes to the cross to die. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We were studying verses in John 14 last month, at the very beginning of the month, on April 1st, the first weekend in April, as we shared communion. And here we are again in the first week of May sharing communion back in John 14. If you are not there yet, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John 14. Remember what we've already seen. As we go through John's gospel, that Jesus is only hours from the cross, and right from chapter 13 of the Gospel of John all the way through to chapter 18 in John's Gospel, it is known or called Jesus' farewell discourse. It's his final words with his disciples. It begins in chapter 13 as they are in the upper room. Jesus is washing their feet. Remember, he shares the Last Supper with them. And then he begins to teach them. And these are his final words. And Jesus is preparing his disciples. He wants them to understand his death and to believe in him and to trust him completely. Do you need this message? I do. Jesus also knows on that very same night that their hearts will be troubled when he dies. Remember, he tells them in advance that you'll be scattered. You'll be confused about my death. And they won't understand, it says, until he rises again. But here is Jesus lovingly caring for his disciples. And he gives them these amazing, encouraging words. Let not your hearts be troubled. He tells them in advance they're going to face uncertainty about their own faith and the future. And just like Jesus' words are given to his true followers, his disciples, I believe this is an encouraging message for our troubled hearts. When we face troubling thoughts or we're uncertain about our own faith and the future, and though we know the message of the Bible and we are in the gospel, sometimes we struggle in our faith, don't we? Last time we looked at verse 1 to 14 in this chapter. And we learned from Jesus that he was calling his disciples to have faith. In fact, in verse 1, we saw that faith is really the cure for a troubled heart. Do you see it in verse 1 of chapter 14? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, Jesus is really clear about faith. It's not just any kind of faith. He's not saying have faith in yourself. He's not saying have faith and hope for a better future. It's not just an empty message that we hear almost every day. Just hang in there. Don't give up. You've got this. It's not wishful thinking. Jesus is very clear on what they should believe and what their faith should be. It's not the power of positive thinking or self-improvement, or even self-focus. In fact, it's not even a humanistic faith at all, because it's not faith in humans. It's not believe in yourself. And that's why the verses of John 14, 1 to 14 are so important. Listen again to those first six verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus is very clear that we need to believe in him, that he is the only way to the Father, that he is going to the Father, and he will return. No amount of believing in yourself will transform your life and somehow win the favor of God. It's Christ alone. In fact, he says it. Look at verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I said to you, I say to you, I do not speak my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus is calling us to have faith, genuine faith, saving faith in Christ alone. That's why we need John 14, verse 1 to 14. And thank God it's Jesus himself who is teaching it, calling us to this faith. But then we come to the second half of this chapter, which are our verses today, verse 15 to 31, and we find the exact same message for troubled hearts. Do you see it in verse 27? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. There is some kind of peace, some kind of answer to troubled hearts that the world can't give us. And what does he say? The exact same message again. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But there is something different in the second half. In the first half, he says, believe, have faith, put your full weight down on me. I am the Savior, the only way, truth, and life. But in the second half, verse 28 gives us a hint at what he's talking about. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. See, that's exactly the message of the first few verses of this chapter. And what does Jesus say? If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. There is this hint already that in the first section, he is calling them to have faith. And here in the second section, Jesus is calling them to love him. That's the focus of this entire rest of this chapter. Look at verse 29. The next verse, he brings it all together. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. See, Jesus is talking about this belief that is connected to love for him. Even the demons believe, but they do not love Jesus. True saving faith is not just a checklist of things that we mark off. Oh, it is important that we understand the truth of Scripture. But do you love me? This is the focus of Jesus here in John 14. Jesus comes back to the very same question of troubled hearts, and that there is this question of whether or not there is love. And if there was love, there would be rejoicing that Jesus is going. But it's this entire section. Look how our verses start in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The message for troubled heart is to call us to authentic faith in verse 1 to 14. And the message for troubled hearts is that we would abide in God's love, that we would know God and we would know his love. And this is my prayer for you this morning. So let's pray and ask God to speak. And then we'll look at these verses. Father, you are kind in all your ways. We just read that in Psalm 145. So we come again and we pray, kind Father, please speak these same words to troubled hearts that are here this morning. In fact, I confess, and we must all confess, that truthfully, this describes all of us in some way or another. We face troubling thoughts. We look to you and we ask you to shape our faith, cause our love to grow for you, for all of us. We know that you're worthy of more love than we can ever give. Yet you are kind to produce genuine love in the hearts of your people. Let it be true of us. We would know you and your love. And we pray the prayer of Ephesians, that we would know you, that we heard last Sunday in Ephesians chapter 1, that you, God, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened so that we would know the hope to which you've called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance of the saints, and that we would know the immeasurable power for us who believe according to the great working of your might. Will you reveal yourself? We anticipate again that you will speak from your word. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Follow along in your Bibles in John 14, verse 15 to 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here. Obviously, you heard it as I read it 5 times in this passage. In these verses, Jesus emphasizes that true love is required in order for us to be disciples who will follow him, in order for us to have peace and joy in Jesus' death. Look at verse 15. If you love me, in verse 21, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you will follow me, is what Jesus is saying. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me, he says it twice in verse 21. He comes back to it again in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. If you love me, you will follow me. In order for us to follow Christ, to be his disciples, we must have faith in him, the only true and living way, and we must love him. Verse 24, he says it negatively. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. And then again in 28, if you love me, you would have rejoiced. 5 times in these verses, I think this is what we're supposed to see. To some, this will sound like it's a test or Jesus is requiring forcing obedience on people. It's as if Jesus is saying to some, they would say, if you really love me, you would just do whatever I say. And if you're obedient, if you're really obedient, then maybe I will love you back. So obey God, and he might love you. That's not what these verses are saying. Jesus is clearly repeating it over and over again just so we don't get it mistaken. Love and commandment keeping are not the same thing. It's possible that you could live a good life and not love God. It's possible that you could do everything that you're supposed to do according to the Bible to the best of your ability and still not love Jesus. But without loving Jesus, we will not follow him, and we will not know his ways, and we will not come to him. These are the words of John 5. Just listen as I read it. John 5, 38 and 39, you do not have his word abiding in you, for who you do not believe in the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. We're not saved by reading the Bible. We're not saved by sitting in church. We must come to Christ, the life giver. Look at verse 41. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. See, somehow this love for Jesus moves us to follow him, to be his disciples. Jesus is explaining in John 5 that it's the love of God that draws us to him, that we might have life. And we must come to him to have life. So why does Jesus say this four times, that if you love me, you'll keep my commands? And then the fifth time he says, if you love me, you will rejoice that I'm going to the cross, is what he's talking about. I think Jesus is pointing out not just the commandment keeping, we will see that in a minute, but what he's pointing out is the motivation for following him. If you love, you will. It's showing the source of how we will follow him. And maybe the reason we struggle with following Jesus is a question of our love. The root is love, and the fruit is following Jesus. That's why John describes it as the one who loves me. He doesn't even describe them as Christians in this passage. He doesn't describe them as disciples. His definition of who these people are is, he's the one who loves me. And I sat all alone in my office this week. And I could not escape this question. Would he say that about me? We can come up with all kinds of descriptions. Norm, you are my child. You're a child of God. We know that from Ephesians, but in verse 21, Jesus describes a true follower, a true disciple. Do you see it? He it is who loves me. Norm loves me. Think about it a little more personally. Who is the person that you know the most, the closest relationship you have in this world? Would they say with certainty and assurance that you love them? And how would they know? Would they say, you know, I know, Norm, that you really love me? This is what Jesus is getting at. And we will miss it if all we do is focus on keeping the commandments, though we will get there. He does the exact same thing in verse 23 and 24. He's describing those who love him and those who do not love him. Do you see what he's doing? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. He's describing disciples and followers and Christians on the basis of their love. Now, we know this is true. We know that the Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. But Jesus gives this promise in the last description of love in verse 28. You heard me say, I'm going away, and here's his promise. I will come to you. To who? To the ones who love him and rejoice in him. He uses the exact same phrase, if you love me. And I think we're supposed to see how it's all connected. But this time, instead of the root being love and the fruit being keeping the commandments, this time in verse 28, the root is love and the fruit is rejoicing. And what a beautiful picture, because we will rejoice that Jesus is going to the Father. his great Father, Jesus says, he's greater than I, and you would rejoice because I'm returning to my Father. And he goes on to describe, he's going to the cross right to the end of verse 31. I love the Father. And he obeys the Father. You see what Jesus is doing in this chapter? He defines those who are true Christians, genuine followers of Christ, as ones who love him and keep the commandments and obey Christ. And then what does he do at the very end? Verse 31, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. That we would have joy for Jesus as he goes to the cross, revealing his love for the Father and his redemption for us. And just like Jesus calls for genuine faith in verse 1 to 14, he is calling you in this exact moment, in the place where you sit in this sanctuary. He is calling us to a depth of personal love. A personal love that is the motive for why would we follow him? Every single time Jesus mentions it, he explains that they are loving him. In verse 15, if you love, and what is next? Look in your Bible. What is next? If you love me, do you love Jesus personally? Verse 21, he it is who loves me. The emphasis is actually on loving Jesus personally. It's not just being religious. It's not just going to church. It's not just keeping the Ten Commandments. We can sing the children's song, remember? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's true, because guess what? He actually says it in this verses. My Father will love you, and I love you. Jesus is going to say it. But have we missed the whole point? Have we lived our Christian life with somewhat of a narcissistic spirituality that thinks it's all about God's love to me? I don't need to love God because he's there just to serve me. And yet the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And Jesus is saying the way to dispel troubled hearts is to love me. If we would treasure Jesus above all, then we would love him and we would follow him above all. In verse 23, he says it exactly the same. You can't escape it in this passage. He's not just talking generally about love, being a loving person. No, he's directing it towards himself. In verse 23, if anyone loves, what's next? Me. In verse 24, he says it negatively, that those who do not love me. And it could be that Jesus is describing very religious people, very good people that don't love him. It is not just being a loving person. And you might have the honesty of your heart, why would God love me? You might even say, I am a good person. Of course God is going to save me. But here Jesus is revealing that with all the other things that we can love, that he must take the first place in our hearts. We could come up with a list of all of them, couldn't you? What are the other things that our lives are about? All of our other loves, all of the other things that capture our affection? Right here in John's gospel, John the apostle says it twice. People, in chapter 3, verse 19, people loved darkness rather than light because they wanted to hide their deeds because their deeds were evil. They did not want to come to the light. They did not love Jesus because he would reveal the sin in their hearts. They loved to hide. In John 12, verse 43, Jesus explains that even though there are many who are following him, they're afraid to confess it. And guess why they won't confess it? Because they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. See, both of these sections, in the first one, that we would have genuine faith, and in the second one, that we would have genuine love for Jesus himself, that he will die and rise again. We will see this in this book when we get to the end of this book in John chapter 21. Do you remember what Jesus says to Peter? Three times he says, "Do you love me?" And three times after he asks the question, "Do you love me?" he gives a command. Remember, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He commands him. He's saying to Peter that if you love me, you will love others and you will care for them around and you will speak the truth of the gospel and reveal the hope that you have in Christ. This is the connection of loving Jesus. That as we love him, we would follow him. This is the connection of the command that Jesus gives right here in this context. If you go back to chapter 13, look at verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." See, it's evidence of a true follower of Jesus, to love the way he does. And the command is given just before this passage in John 14, "A new commandment I give you." So in this context, when Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," it is this command. And guess what? It's in chapter 15, right after this passage in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Right here. Jesus is not saying in this passage, "If you love me, you follow the Old Testament law." He is not saying in this passage, "If you love me, you will follow all the Jewish expectations." He is saying, "If you love me, you will follow me and my commands to love others. And you will love others the way I love them." Now, I want to be really clear here. Jesus is talking to genuine Christians. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to those who have genuine faith. You can see it in verse 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells in you and will be in you." This commandment Jesus has given is to those who have put their faith fully in Christ and love him. Another mistake that people make is to think that we love God first. That we love God and he sees our great love. And when he evaluates our great love, he checks out, are they keeping the commands? And so then he responds to give us his love is a reward, that is, if somehow we may have earned it. And you might get that from verse 23. "Jesus answered them, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him.'" But if you see it in the bigger picture, Jesus is not saying, "And then my Father will love him. As a result, my Father will love him." Jesus is talking about this mutual love and affection for one another. It is not just one way, that God actually loves his people. Remember this in Ephesians 1? Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He loved us first. He's not giving us his love as a reward, as if we could somehow keep all the commands, as if we could really prove our affection and then maybe he would love us back. No, he loves us first and he chooses us. And to those who are his, he gives the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't even receive it. He says the exact same thing in Ephesians 2, and we will get there. And what a glorious passage, that you were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He loved us first. When we were still dead in our sins, we could not keep commands. But he's talking about the motivation of loving him back. That we would respond to his love. And it's right here in the verses I just read that you would love one another in chapter 13 as I have loved you. Jesus has already loved his disciples and called them. In chapter 15, he says the exact same thing, right in the commandment, as I have loved you. Jesus loved us first. And in case you are struggling with that, 1 John 4, verse 19, the same apostle John in the little Johns at the back of the New Testament says in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We do not earn his love. But because we love, it is our motivation to live our lives, to follow his commands, to love others. If you come back to chapter 14, he is not saying that we will keep commandments to earn love. He says we will keep commandments to continue in his love, to abide in his love. Look at chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see what he's saying? If you are struggling to follow the Lord and truly walk in the holiness that God is calling us to, could it be a love problem? You got a good church attendance record. You carry a Bible. You do all the things that you're expected to do. You're nice to people. But Jesus is calling us and calling to troubled hearts to continue and abide in the love of God as a motivation for how we will follow him. And in fact, if you go back to verse 15 to 31 of chapter 14, it's not earning God's love. He loved us first, but it is a growing intimacy with God. In essence, right through these verses, as I've spent so much time talking about our love for God, the beauty of this passage is laid right on top of it. All the way through it is God's love for you. Jesus is promising those with genuine faith and those who love him personally, the promises that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will be with them and in them in an intimate way forever. And if this is true, it will transform your troubled heart. In verse 16, another helper to be with you forever. And another helper is the Spirit of truth in verse 17. And then he explains it in verse 26. It's the Holy Spirit. Another helper. There is the Father and the Son. And then the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will be with you forever. And we're going to come back to the Holy Spirit when we get to chapter 15 and chapter 16. John leads us right through, and he has a great many things to say about the Holy Spirit, and he just touches down here twice as a helper. We'll come back to it. But it's intimate. Look at verse 17. It's an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? You will receive him. You will know him. He will dwell with you, and he will be in you. Church attendance can't hold a candle to the reality of the dynamic, living presence of Christ in you. And then Jesus says the same thing about himself and the Father. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 19, you will see me. I will give you life. In verse 20, you will know that I'm in the Father and that you are in me and that I am in you. It's intimate. It is a true living relationship with Christ. And then in verse 21, specifically to the one who loves Jesus, and this is truly amazing. Laid right over top of it, he says, you will be loved by my Father. And I will love you. Because he's saying it to the one who loves Jesus, to him, I will love him. If you love Jesus, he's saying, I will love you. And then at the end of verse 21, I will manifest myself. I'll reveal myself to you. This is an intimate relationship. In verse 23, again, speaking specifically to the one who loves Jesus, my Father will love you, and we will come to you, and we will make our home with you. In 26, the Father will send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, the Trinity brought together. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you what I said. In verse 27, Jesus will give his peace, and they will love him, and they will know him. My dear friends, in John 14, there's two parts for troubled hearts. As we consider and are uncertain about our own faith and our own future, in verses 1 to 14, it is a simple call of the gospel that we will share in communion to put your faith in Jesus, the only true and living way, and then to love him. Because it is the motivation to live for him. And this promise that Jesus gives, all these promises of a true relationship with the Father, is based on his love for us. Ephesians 5 is a powerful description when we get there as we study Ephesians 5. And I want to close with this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, will bring these truths to bear on our hearts. You call us to faith. And you call us to follow you, and the motivation behind it all is that we would truly love Jesus, that we would put our trust in him, the finished work on the cross and his redemption, and that our motivation would truly be to love him, to obey the command to love others, and to walk in love just as Christ loved us. I pray, Lord, now that as we turn to communion, that as we turn to share and focus our hearts on all that Jesus has done, that we would recognize your great faithfulness in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.